Welcome to an exposition of the Gospel of John with Rev I.T. Matura. Get ready to be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Welcome to Lesson 11, which I have titled The Good Shepherd and His Flock. I'm going to go through an overview of Chapter 10 of the Gospel of John. Then after the overview, I'm going to look at the key revelation that we get from this chapter, which is John chapter 10 and verse number 10. Then I'll conclude by looking at five key lessons that we draw out of this chapter. And I believe you'll be empowered and blessed by the word of God. Get your notebook, get your Bible. Let us flow together in the word. Now we continue as we pick up from where we left yesterday when we looked at the blind man born blind that was healed by Jesus Christ, and this was to the glory of God. Now in chapter 10 from verse 1 to 9, we see there Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, and he begins to talk and give illustrations. In verse 1, he says, "Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd, and the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice." Now, here Jesus is sharing the qualities of a shepherd in these verses. He's trying to show the Pharisees what a shepherd does, because the Pharisees did not understand shepherding. They were all concerned about their positions. They were concerned about trying to keep an image. They were hypocrites. But Jesus says to them here, the true shepherd comes through the gate. He doesn't try to maneuver through any other way. And the true shepherd, the sheep know him and they know his voice. Verse 5 says, "But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Verse 6 says, "Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, 'Verily, truly, I tell you, I am the gate of the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will go in and come out and find pasture.'" So you see here, Jesus was trying to explain the difference between the shepherds that came before him and him who is a shepherd that cares for the flock. The Pharisees did not care for the people, and they did not understand what it meant to be a shepherd. So he tells them that he is the gate, and anyone who truly wants to be a shepherd has to enter through Christ, because if he enters any other way, God will not recognize him. So we see here the qualities of a shepherd. A shepherd enters through the gate that God has made. And number two, a shepherd has a voice that the sheep know, and the sheep follow the voice of the shepherd. And the shepherd also knows the sheep. Hallelujah. Now, from verse number 10 to verse 18, we see there the revelation of a good shepherd. So in the earlier verses, we show the qualities of a shepherd. Now we see what it means to be a good shepherd. Verse number 10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and you may have it in full." 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So Jesus then gives a revelation of who is the good shepherd. And he says, "I am." And we see "I am" here, which is the fifth "I am" that we see. And Jesus is saying, "I am Yahweh, good shepherd." And when we want to learn what a shepherd is and a good shepherd is, we look unto Jesus. He is the good shepherd, and he says a good shepherd will lay down his life for the sake of the sheep. Hallelujah. Now, he then gives a comparison between a good shepherd and a hired shepherd. A hired shepherd is someone who does not love the sheep and does not own the sheep, but is just there on a wage. And he says a hired shepherd does not own the sheep. When he sees danger, when the wolf is coming, he runs away from the sheep. He is self-preserving. He doesn't want to protect the sheep. He runs away. He cares for himself and not the sheep. And we are living in a time that we have many hirelings, hired shepherds, that are out there in ministry, not for the sake of ministering to the sheep, but to take care of their own needs. And Jesus makes a comparison and says, he is different from a hireling. Verse number 14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Hallelujah. So a good shepherd knows the sheep and the sheep know him. He is not a stranger. He is known by his sheep and he knows his sheep. Hallelujah. And he goes on in verse 15, just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sake of the sheep. So a good shepherd is willing to sacrifice in order to minister to the sheep. He's willing to sacrifice in order to preserve the sheep. In verse 16, he says, I have other sheep that are not of these. And he is talking there of other sheep that were not in that generation. And he says, I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. They shall be one flock and one shepherd. And that flock is the church, because one type of the church is a flock. And when God or Jesus is talking about his flock, he's talking about the church. And the church, he says, now there are some that are not yet part of this flock, but they have to also come. He was talking about you and me, that one day we'll be born again and be part of this flock that is one shepherd. Our shepherd, the chief shepherd, is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 18, a powerful scripture says, no one takes... talking of his life. Maybe let's start from 17, where he says, the reason the Father loves me is I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I received from the Father. So you see there that Jesus was not killed. He was not murdered. He laid his life. That's why he is a sacrifice. That's why he is the Lamb of God. When John saw him, he says, behold the Lamb. He had to lay down his life. You remember when Abraham goes together with Isaac on top of the mountain where God had commanded him to sacrifice Isaac. Isaac was stronger than his father. If he didn't want to be put on the altar, he could have just pushed Abraham down the hill and he would have run away, but he laid himself on the altar. Jesus says, no one takes my life. I lay it and I pick it up again. And why does he lay it down? He lays it down for us. He lays down our lives that we should not perish, but have eternal life. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 19 to 41, Jesus responds and reveals his divinity. Now, the Pharisees begin to question him, and Jesus responds to their questions, because in 19, they were divided again, some saying he's right, some saying he's wrong. Then some who had said, this man is demon-possessed, he's talking a lot of nonsense. But others say, can a man who is demon-possessed speak in such a way? Can a demon-possessed man open the eyes of the blind? Now, verse 22, they came to the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. Now, this is one of the first festivals that later was adopted by the Jews, which is also called Hanukkah, which was a festival of dedication. It wasn't among the seven festivals of the Jews that were handed down to Moses, because there were seven, three major ones and four minor ones. This is one they developed along the journey. So during this time of the festival of dedication, Jesus went into the temple, and when people had gathered around them, he began to speak to them, and he says, if you don't believe what I'm telling you, believe the works, because the works testify that I've been sent by the Father. You see that this theme of Christ encouraging those who heard him to believe because of the works runs throughout the Gospel of John. He's saying, you might not believe what I'm saying, but look at the works. The works cannot be done unless the Father has sent me. Verse 28 says, verse 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall not perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Hallelujah. I and the Father are one. So Jesus is saying, those that are my sheep, they hear my voice and they follow me. What he was saying to the Pharisees was, because you are not part of my sheep, you can't hear me and you will never follow me. But if you were sheep, you would hear the voice of the shepherd and you would follow the shepherd. He then says there in verse 30, I and the Father are one. Therefore, declaring his divinity, that he is God. And this enraged the Pharisees because they knew what it meant. And they became angry and they picked up stones and they wanted to stone him, because they were saying he's claiming to be God. Then Jesus says to them, of these works that I've done, which one do you want to stone me for? And they said, not of any work, but because you are making yourself equal to God. That is why we want to stone you. Jesus then responds and says in verse 34, is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word came, the scripture cannot be set aside. Now Jesus quotes from Isaiah, where God spoke to us and says we are gods because we are created in the image of God, and Adam was made the god of this world. It is when Adam sinned that authority handed over to the devil. That's why when you read in the letters, you hear Apostle Paul saying the devil is the god of this world. He took authority because of sin. But when God created us, he says, you are God. So Jesus is saying, if the word already has given us the gods, there is a God with a small G. He says, then why do you say the Son, God's Son, is blaspheming when he says, I and the Father are one? Verse 37 says, do not believe me unless I do the works of the Father. If I do them, even though you don't believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. So Jesus did not relent from the truth. Even when people got angry, even when people wanted to stone him, he continued to teach the truth, and he says, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The Pharisees got angry. They tried to seize him, but he escaped because his time had not come. Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing, and he stayed there, and many people came to him there, and they began to testify that this man that does miracles, even though John did not do any, but what John said about this man is very true, and many people believed in Jesus there. Now our key scripture is John 10 verse 10 to 11. It says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now that's the revelation there. And when Jesus is talking about the thief, now the first interpretation is that the thief is the devil, and that's a right interpretation to a certain extent, because the thief is a killer, and he's a destroyer. And when he begins by stealing. And when he steals something from you, he might steal your hope. He might steal your joy. Then when he steals, he goes on to kill. He wants to destroy, kill your dreams and make sure that you don't come out of that prison that he sets you. And in the end, he wants to destroy you totally, that you don't make it to heaven. You end up in hell. That's the agenda of the devil. But in the context of this chapter, because in the verses that we are reading prior to this, Jesus was saying that anyone who does not enter by the gate of the sheepfold is a thief. So you see here that Jesus, beyond just talking of the enemy or the thief as the devil, he's talking about false teachers or false shepherds, those that pretend to be shepherds, yet they are after destroying the sheep. They come with one agenda: to steal the sheep, to kill and to destroy the sheep. That's their agenda. They have no interest in building and feeding the flock. You remember when Jesus, you see later in the later chapters, he asked Peter and says, "Do you love me?" And Jesus says, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." So you see that Jesus loved the sheep. Why? Because he laid down his life for the sheep. But those that are false shepherds don't care for the sheep. They come to scatter the sheep. They come to steal. They come to kill and destroy. And there are many that are like that, that are scattering the church, destroying the church, killing. They have an agenda to try and destroy. But thank God, Jesus says, "I will build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Then it goes on to say, "I have come that they may have life and have it in full." Hallelujah. Jesus has come that his sheep may have life and the sheep may have it in full. The church of God, the believers, Christ's agenda is that we may have that word life, is zoe, the God kind of life, the life in fullness, not limited, not just some kind of life, but the fullness of that which God intended for you. That means walking in your full potential, walking in the purpose of God, in the perfect will of God, and to live fully according to that God which God has ordained for you. Hallelujah. And he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So Jesus prophesies he'll go to the cross. He lays down his life so that the sheep may have life. You and I, that we may have life and we may have it more abundantly. If you are there, say amen. Five lessons as I conclude from this chapter. Lesson number one, as sheep, we should learn to follow the shepherd. Now, the security of sheep is in the shepherd. Unlike lions or hyenas that don't have a shepherd and their teeth to fight and to try and defend themselves, the defense of sheep is in the shepherd. So any sheep that goes astray is in danger. That is why when you look in other gospels, you hear about the lost sheep and the shepherd going after the lost sheep. Because once the sheep is lost and alone, it is in danger to be attacked by wolves, attacked by hyenas, and to be eaten up. Because the security of any sheep is in the shepherd. And our good shepherd is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. That is why as a sheep, you must be found in church, connected with other believers as we worship and follow the shepherd together. And under the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, they are under shepherds, pastors that Jesus has assigned. The Bible says he has given gifts unto men, and he has given some to be pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, and apostles for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So you see that in nature, when animals are traveling, they travel as a herd. The one that separates itself is in danger of being attacked. That's why you must remain connected to the flock of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lesson number two, a sheep must learn to know the voice of the shepherd. A genuine sheep must learn to know the voice of the shepherd. If you are a sheep, you must know the voice of the shepherd. And how do you know the voice of the shepherd? Is by spending time with the shepherd. And it is very important that us as believers, we know the voice of our shepherd. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. For direction in life, you need to hear the voice of the shepherd. When he's saying, let's go this way, when he's saying, it's time to pray, it's time to fast, this is the way to go, can you hear his voice? Do you have the ability, even that when the shepherd is not shouting, when he speaks and gives direction, you can hear his voice? Because his sheep hear his voice. May God open your ears to hear, your spiritual ears, that you may hear the voice of the shepherd. Because your safety is in the voice of the shepherd. Hallelujah. That's why it's important to listen to the word of God. As you are listening now, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. A sheep must know the voice of the shepherd. Lesson three, Jesus is the giver of abundant life. There is no other source of life other than Christ. There are many things in this world that seemingly give people joy and seemingly give happiness, but all fall short. Whether it's a job, whether it is marriage, money, all of them are not sufficient. The fullness of life is in Christ Jesus. That is why it is important that we minister Jesus, because it is when someone comes to the place of receiving Jesus that they receive life, because he is life himself. And the abundance of life, the fullness of life, is in Christ Jesus. Our purpose is fulfilled in him. Our potential is maximized in him. Amen. Lesson number four, Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. He is one with the Father. We need this revelation because it's a key revelation of the Gospel of John, that Jesus is God. He is not just a prophet. He is not just a good teacher. He is not just a miracle worker. He is God. He says, I and the Father are one. And this is what was lacking in the Pharisees. They could not accept that he was God. Now, many times we talk about the Pharisees and say how much they had unbelief and how they were hypocritical. But many of us, if we lived in these times, we could have been part of the Pharisees. Because imagine someone who comes and is walking in the flesh and he's saying, I am God. And he's saying, I and God are one. Would you have easily believed it? It took revelation. That is why Jesus says to Peter in Matthew 16, it is my Father, it is not by flesh and blood, but it is my Father in heaven that has revealed this to you. It takes revelation to come to the place where you understand that Jesus is God. Without revelation, you will not be able to comprehend it. So that's what we need, the Spirit of God to open our eyes to the revelation, to the knowledge of Jesus as God, one with the Father. Amen. Lastly, the works of Jesus testify of his divinity, the works that he did, the works that he does now. Because Jesus, we don't speak of the past, we speak of the present. He is alive and he is working now. His works, his miracles testify of his divinity. He says, if you can't believe what I'm saying, believe the works, because the works I do are the works of my Father. Whatever I see the Father doing, I do also. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for bringing revelation and insight. We pray that, God, we may have the grace to follow Jesus, the Good Shepherd, that daily we may follow him, learn from him, that, God, we may hear his voice and know his voice in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for abundant life that we have received in Christ Jesus, that, God, the Zoe kind of life, the overflowing life. Thank you, King of Kings. I pray that, God, you may give us the spirit of revelation and that we may walk in revelation and understanding in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Stay blessed. Let's connect again tomorrow.
Thank you for connecting to today's teaching. Looking forward to connecting again tomorrow. For more of Rev I.T. Matura's biblical teachings, go to innocentmatura.podbean.com.